We've been talking a lot on this program about campaign donations and what exactly campaign donations buys for you. Well, I wonder what billionaire George Soros thinks he can buy. He's just donated $1 million to help pass the ballot initiative in California, Prop 19, which would legalize marijuana in the state.
Does he own any real estate in Humboldt County?
Very fun. That was a low blow.
It's a legitimate question.
What are the chances of Prop 19 will get passed? And if Prop 19 passes, does that actually make marijuana fully legal? Because nationwide, it's still illegal. We're joined now by Bruce Kane, political science professor at UC Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Maya Sulovitz, who's a health writer for Time.com. Good morning, Maya.
Good morning.
Well, Maya, let me go to Bruce first. What are the chances that Prop 19 will get passed?
At this point, they're looking pretty dim. If you go back into August, there were several polls that had it leading by 14, 15 points. But the most recent poll by a very reliable source, which is the Public Policy Institute of California, has it losing by 5 points. And most of the other polls that have come out in the last month also have it going down. Our experience in California is that if initiative is losing in the last week and there's still undecided voters, the undecided voters tend to vote no. So I would say at this point, it's probably not going to succeed.
And even if it did succeed, it would make marijuana legal in the state of California, which would come smack up against the national law.
Yes, and that would be an awkward moment for both California and for the federal government. Obviously, Obama has very strong ties to California. It's a part of his reelection strategy in 2012 is to have California as its base. And yet, as you say, the federal law definitely would come into conflict with Prop 19, and it would set up a very awkward battle, particularly for the administration, which would have to decide, does it enforce federal law and start a fight with California, or does it let California do what it wants to, in which case it will get a lot of criticism from conservative areas of the country.
Well, Attorney General Eric Holder says if California does pass Prop 19, the Justice Department will prosecute California users and growers under federal statutes. But let me move to you, Maya, because you had an interesting article in which you talked about the link between the Dow Jones and the nation's opinion of prohibition. And then you connected that to this Proposition 19 in California. And basically what it sounds like that you're saying is in times of economic stress, the country's morals kind of get set aside. That's not one of our priorities.
Yes. When things are good, you can pay attention to problems like other people's behavior with alcohol and other substances. But if you're worried about losing your job and your house and your car, the idea that your kid might smoke pot, which you and your friends did and survived, just isn't so scary anymore. Bad times put all kinds of things in perspective.
Well, yeah, even if you didn't inhale, right? But, I mean, basically what you say in your article is what killed prohibition, what led to the repeal of prohibition was not a change in morals and was only partly because of the organized crime syndicates that rose up because of prohibition. It was mostly because we went into the Great Depression.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently before prohibition was passed, sin taxes in general had made huge amounts of money for the government. Something like 50% of the federal government revenue came from alcohol, gambling, and cigarette taxes. That's a lot of money to throw away, and especially when everybody was drinking anyway.
But it just seems to me that the comparison is a tough one because before prohibition in the United States, this was a nation of drop dead drunkards. I mean, the stories of even the colonists, wandering around. I mean, the first product exported from the United States was whiskey, for heaven's sakes.
Right, and tobacco was not far behind.
Yeah, right.
And now we don't have the same situation, I think, is what John is saying, is that we don't have a nation full of people, you know, by and large, who regularly use marijuana.
Well, it's very hard to tell. I mean, the public surveys, one of the reasons that some people don't trust the polls on Prop 19 is that if you compare surveys that are done via computer and surveys done via phone, on the computer surveys, the proposition looks like it's going to do very well. And we've seen this with other illegal drug or sex kind of questions. People don't want to admit it to other people. An anonymous computer seems okay, but, you know, talking to a person and saying, yes, I'm going to vote for this is kind of embarrassing to people. So
We don't know. Well, Bruce Kane, let me ask you, political science professor at UC Berkeley, what do you make of this idea that during good times, people are really concerned about other people's behavior and morality, and when times get bad, all of a sudden cities start issuing those business licenses to strip clubs and bars, and probably maybe people are more likely to want to tax something like marijuana?
I think it's a perfectly valid point, and political science literature would back that up as well, that when the economy becomes the top drawer issue and things are bad, getting revenue and getting the economy started again tends to just crowd out these moral judgments. And I'm sure that's why early on the support for the marijuana initiative was much stronger. I think also the point you made that the polls may be unreliable, particularly the automated ones, the difference between the automated ones and non-automated ones. And it's also possible that there'll be a hidden turnout of younger voters that the pollsters are not anticipating. But having said that, even the automated polls are only showing a 4-point lead. And again, I point to history, which is if there's only a small lead and there's an undecided vote, that's a very precarious situation to be in.
Well, I mean, Bruce Kane, one last question for you. The Volstead Act, the repeal didn't come all at once. It came by inches. Could that happen here? I mean, could we legalize marijuana by fits and starts?
Well, I'm not sure who you're asking, but I would say yes, I think it will come gradually over time.
Bruce Kane, political science professor at UC Berkeley. Maya Salovitz, health writer for Time.com. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.